listening to a podcast on the Black Fur Network.
Episode 48, The Columbine High School Massacre. On April 20th, 1999 in Colorado, students Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold walked into Columbine High School with one purpose, to carry out a mass shooting on their fellow students and teachers. The events that unfolded shocked the world and remains one of America's deadliest massacres in their history. And now we'll discuss crimes like these. Hello, welcome to Crimes Like These with me, SJ.
Me, Paul.
And me, Sam.
Good evening.
Good okay. evening.
How are we?
I'm all right.
Good. Mm. Good.
Apart from the continuous and constant rain.
Yeah,
oh, it's been miserable.
Oh, God, it's been horrible here today.
Yep.
I don't think storm it's quite as bad as the... Yeah, Storm Kieran, I think it is.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's mainly like down south, but...
Yeah, tell
we've
me about
had
it.
Yeah, it's all like along the south coast, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's horrific down here.
Is it?
Like the wind this morning was mad.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Any damage
worried about your roof tile was mad. Nah, luckily we're all right.
Oh, that's all right then. That's okay then. It's nearly the end of the week. We're almost at the weekend.
Thank God.
I'm off at the moment, so to me, I'm like, is it?
Oh,
yeah. This is my week off.
I've got one more week and then I'm off for a week.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Well, I broke up today for 2 weeks. Which is
2 weeks? Fucking hell. I haven't had 2 weeks off since I was at school.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 2 weeks. Do you know what? I can't remember the last time I had 2 weeks off either.
I just wouldn't want to waste my day in 2 weeks.
The last time I had time off was June, though. I haven't had a day off since June. So I feel like I need some downtime. Have we been up to? Anything interesting? Watching anything?
Oh, I tell you what I watched.
Mm.
That new Enfield Poltergeist documentary on
Apple. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's
any good?
So fucking good.
Is it?
Right. Now, I watched it. We watched it as like a, because, you know, it's Halloween, spooky shit. So,
yeah.
And I'm pretty familiar with it. It's a really famous sort of
case.
And I've always been under the impression it was just faked. Like, I don't believe in ghosts for one thing.
Yeah.
And secondly, it's just, there's just so much to it that's like, okay. But, and this starts off like that. The first two episodes are about the haunting and like all the things that went on, and Morris Gross, who's like the paranormal investigator that sort of headed it up. And
yeah,
you're like, yep, this is exactly what I expected it to be. And you're like, I find it fascinating because I always think, how did they fake it? Like, Morris Gross was an inventor for one thing. Anyway. It starts off that way, the first two episodes, but the second two episodes go a complete 180, and they just talk about kind of, and it just becomes this really tragic sort of sad story about sort of human psychology and grief, and like, it's so, like, the last two episodes really had me riveted. It's so interesting.
Cool. Excellent. What's that on?
It's on Apple.
Oh, is it Apple? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then right at the end of the last episode, it twists it right back round again and tells you something that absolutely blew my mind.
Oh, I love shit like that.
Yeah.
Love shit like that.
I'll definitely watch that.
Yeah, it's well worth watching. The first two episodes are run of the mill.
Yeah.
This is
standard.
The Enfield Poltergeist. Yeah. But it's worth it for the second two.
Excellent.
Cool. Very
I'm
good.
I'm invested already.
Very good.
We watched Fall of the House of Usher.
Oh, I've not got to that yet.
This is the new Mike Flanagan one. So this is the guy that did Haunting of Hill House, Bly Manor, Midnight Mass.
Yeah.
He also directed Hush and Doctor Sleep.
Okay.
That's that guy.
He's 100% in my book.
I did enjoy Fall of the House of Usher. I don't think it's up there with Hill House and Bly Manor. Not for me, anyway.
No,
I think
it's not
those...
like spooky shit, is it? It's
because
the story's
no,
pretty fabulous. Isn't it?
It's. I don't want to give it away because it's better if you just go in as cold as possible.
I mean, the clue is in the title, but there's some great performances in there. Like Bruce Greenwood, who's like the dad. It's fantastic, but go in as you know, knowing as little as possible, basically.
Okay.
Very gruesome bits. Very, very gruesome.
As expected.
Episode 2 goes off. I was just like, oh, you know, and you can just like, you think, oh, maybe that's going to happen. That's going to be really bad. And then you're like, nah, that won't happen.
Yeah.
And then you continue watching and you're like, yeah, this is going exactly where I thought it was going to go.
Oh, wow.
But okay. It is grim. It is grim.
Cool.
And it's not as like jump scary as the rest of them. There are a couple of
Hill House
scares.
Really Hill freaked House me was, out. I had to watch that in like staggered.
I couldn't watch that before I went to bed because it freaked me out.
With the neck thing was just like,
ooh. Yeah, when she's all like lit. Yeah.
It was very clever though. I haven't seen the other one. Blind Manor. Yeah. I did like Hill House.
I really liked Blind Manor. But the last two episodes, I was in a right mess.
Okay.
It was really fucking sad.
It's really Midnight Mass.
Sad. Oh, see, I did like Midnight Mass, but when the reveal came, I was like, really?
Oh, I loved it.
Did you?
Oh my God, yeah. It reminded me so much of 30 Days of Night.
Yeah.
It gave me that kind of vibe. And like, oh God, I loved it so much. I really hope there's a second season of that.
Oh, do you? See, I wasn't that bothered about Midnight Mass. I thought, okay, fine. It was you don't know what that is. Like, nobody, like, all these clues that you had, like, nobody guessed that that was what was going on. And I was okay.
I just loved it. That made the show for me.
The guy who played the priest was really good.
Yeah,
everyone was
really good. Such a good show. I loved it. I really did. It's like that. It's a whole isolated town sort of.
Yeah, because they're on an island, aren't they?
I love that kind of thing.
Yeah. It is good. It is good. I did go to a live action horror thing on Friday last week.
I was supposed to go to that. Yeah, but we were meant to have a gig on Saturday and Sunday, and then that was on like the Friday. So I can't not have a child Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That makes me the world's shittiest parent. So we can't.
Or the world's cleverest.
My mum guilt says otherwise. but then we didn't end up going to the gigs anyway because everyone's fucking ill. So I didn't go to the scare fest. I didn't do, But yeah, it did look, your Instagram stories look quality.
It was.
Is it like a sort of a haunt kind of thing?
Yeah, so basically it's at a farm that's part of the National Forest. It's just in the next village to us. It's like only like 2.5 miles away. So there was like 5 different attractions. There was a little circus thing, and then there was like 4 like haunted houses, if you like. So there was and there was an extra one called Area 52, which was basically you went round on a tractor with a paintball gun shooting people dressed as aliens, which sounds looked weird. Great, yeah. But it wasn't worth the extra tenner in my opinion, but anyway. So there was a hillbilly like zombie zoo thing. There was one called Insomnia, and the shtick was it was all about this little girl who was like seeing things and, you know, this, that and the other. There was Creek Farm, which was basically kind of like a family of, you know, on this farm. But that was actually in a cornfield, which was quite good. Everybody's got chainsaws. It was great. Real chainsaws, but without the chain
without
on.
Because
you
chain,
could yeah, because you could smell the petrol. And they were like coming like right up close to you. Yeah. And then there was a fun house with clowns in it. And I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that one. But there was a reason. Yeah. But it ended up there was a reason why we didn't do that one. Because we saved it till last. And when we were going around the Creek Farm, which was in the cornfield, it had obviously pissed it down all week. The ground is like super muddy. there's not much lighting going on. So I'm more paranoid about falling over in the mud than I am actors jumping out and getting in my face and stuff like that. So we was in this cornfield, it was about halfway through. And the path kind of split into like a V. So there was like two paths. And everyone's going down this right-hand path. And there's this girl like dressed in a boiler suit with like a bloody like gash across her face. And she jumps out in front of me and Sam and she's like, right, you two, you need to go that way, pointing to this left hand path where nobody had gone, basically. No, and I was like, oh, I was like, no, can we go that way, please? And she's like, no, you've got to go that way. So we were like, shit, okay. So starts walking up this path and there's like makeshift like scarecrows. So they're just like bits of wood that are like nailed together like across like that, like with a boiler suit and like a Hessian sack for a head and stuff. And you can clearly see that they're not people. They're not people, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm walking and I'm basically either looking forward or down at the ground to see where I'm treading. Little did I know that there was a guy with his back against the fence being absolutely still on my right-hand side.
Oh, my God.
And I start walking, get past the first scarecrow, and he literally just jumped out and scared the fucking crap out of me.
Oh, wow.
I jumped and screamed. And as I've jerked, I've hurt my neck. So I spent all Saturday not being able to move.
Brilliant.
Oh, dear.
Because I pulled a muscle in my neck.
Oh, sad.
Sounds like a clown. I know.
And I was just like, we did one more attraction after that one. And I was like, I can't.
You were in pain.
I was in pain. Like, I was
bless
like,
you.
I need to go home.
there's a famous one of those haunts really close to me, Tully's.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah, I've never been.
Tully's.
It's very expensive. Google that.
Is it?
Yeah, it's the cheapest ticket's like £45, and there's two of us, so like £90 for one night. I don't think so.
This one, it's been going since like 2016, I think, and it's always at that farm in the National Forest. So
yeah,
yeah, it was Scream Fest. That's what it was called.
Yeah.
But there's there's actors like just randomly like wandering about as well, like in the park, which is quite good because there's like unsuspecting teenagers just, you know, chilling out.
And
then, yeah.
Because I love
and they
being
just
scared, which I know is really strange. Yeah. But when I realise it's like fake, like that's why I like jumpy horror movies.
Yeah.
Because like that, I jump, I always laugh then.
Yes,
like I find it like really funny. Whereas Nick doesn't like it so much, to be fair. Like, he jumps and you just see him go, fuck's sake.
I didn't know how Sam was going to be because he doesn't like jump scares at all.
Yeah.
But he was absolutely fine.
I love him. It just makes me, for some reason, it like triggers that bit of my adrenaline that actually makes me laugh then afterwards. I'm just like, looking like some maniac that just wants to be terrified.
Yeah.
Just laughing in his face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just leave your eyes. Oh, no, she's crazy, man.
Yeah. Yeah, we got chased out of the cornfield by a kid with a chainsaw. Because, like, you just get to a certain point and I think, oh, he's just going to turn around and terrorise the next people. Yeah, so we were just kind of, like, walking out and I kind of looked behind me and he kind of, like, revved the chainsaw and, like, put it above his head.
Yeah,
and I was like, shit, he's going to run. So I was like, we need to run out.
Oh, fantastic.
But, yeah, it was really good.
Good.
It was really good, yeah.
Amazing. Very good.
Just unfortunate injury, but whatever.
Yeah. Is it as unfortunate as losing your tooth, though?
It is not. It is not.
That's tooth for the English speakers out there.
Yeah, sorry. It's tooth. Yeah. Thomas Cameron is like, tough. 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 I don't even say it with a TH at the end.
No,
like
I don't
F.
either.
So that's been my week so far.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to translate the Brummy for the listening audience.
I think, yeah, to be fair, we do a grand job. Yeah, so I broke my tooth on a granary sandwich. A granary bread sandwich. So I was
It's just so stupid.
It's like, so stupid, I know.
People break their teeth on like hard things.
You think, you know, were you trying to pry something open with your teeth or
Nick was like, oh, do you want to go out for food or something? And I was like, do you know what? Let's just go to a garden centre. I need to replace a few plants in the house and then we'll just have some lunch there. All good. So I ordered a granary bread sandwich. And I wouldn't mind, but the filling was cheese and tomato, so it was literally squishy as hell. Oh, and then a God. Seed got lodged in the tooth and back, which is at the top next to my wisdom tooth. And yeah. I just felt this like... Crap. But I've got a cold as well, so the whole thing in my head echoed. Like, oh, and God. I was like, that doesn't sound right. And I thought a filling had come out because I had a root canal in the same tooth like 7 years ago, and I thought maybe the filling had come out. And then I bit again, and I was like... Oh no, this doesn't feel right. It didn't hurt, but it just didn't feel safe. And then I put my finger in and it was wobbling. And I was like, so then I'm just literally bawling my eyes out in the calf thing. Look, like, because I'm an emotional person. And Nick's like, shit, what do I do? So he's off. I couldn't get it. My dentist, December, they told me I could get an appointment. Wow. I was like, what? My tooth has, have you just heard the story? December. So Nick's then phoning his dentist. And I'm just like a mess. Finally got an appointment with another dentist, an emergency appointment, which that wasn't cheap in itself.
I bet it
was. Sat there, and this woman, they were the loveliest dentists though. So the dentist and dental assistant. And she was like, I've got some bad news for you. And I was like, if it needs to come out, you're gonna just pull it out, it's fine. Like, and she was like, I can try and do it. And I was like, if I'm gonna be back here in 2 years' time, just pull it out. Like, just do what you need to do now. And then she looked at me and she was like, I'll get you in for tomorrow. She was like, you know, if I've got any appointments left. And the assistant, bless her, was like, no, we'll do it now. And she was like, but, like, I don't want you to be mad at me because, you know, you want to go home. And she was like, no, look at her.
Was she pointing?
She was like, no, look, we can't leave her, because I genuinely think they thought I was gonna top myself. Like, I was crying in there because I was just the most emotional person, and I was just like, so then like they're yanking my tooth out, and then they're showing me my tooth, and then I'm mourning for my tooth because this tooth looks so lovely and healthy and shiny and white, but it literally cracked in half because of a seed. And
so was it the tooth with the filling in it, or was it the one like?
Yes, it was the one I had root canal in like 7 years ago. So she said that she doesn't think they've done it properly, which is fine, whatever. I just feel like that's like, we're a better dentist than they are kind of thing. But yeah, so like literally yanking, because she said if you can't get it out, you're going to have to go to the hospital to get it removed.
Oh God.
So I think she was trying everything because she could see that like if someone gave me one more piece of bad news, I was going to do something
that
terrible.
That was it, yeah.
Yeah. So so then it eventually obviously come out, but then I'm like, I was like, that's been with me since I was a baby. Yeah, it has.
You're born with all your teeth.
You're born with all your teeth.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, they're just waiting there?
Yeah.
Have you not seen an x-ray of a child?
You only need your little ones.
I've seen the x-ray of a child.
Google it, honestly.
Yeah. You have all your teeth.
What should I Google?
Just child dental
baby x-ray. Teeth x-ray, maybe.
Yeah, baby teeth x-ray. That's a good one, yeah.
So I was like, genuinely, I said to Nick, I said, I know I've given permission and everything, but you kind of feel violated because it's like a part of your body's been taken.
Paul's seen it. Look at his face.
Yeah. What the fuck?
It's fucking nightmare fuel, isn't it?
You're born with all your teeth. Yeah, they're just waiting. Because you only need, obviously, you only got a little mouth when you're little, and then you don't need your big teeth. Yeah. And then your big teeth are the things that
they push
out.
They push out the little teeth.
Yeah.
I'm never going to look at my nieces in the same way again.
Oh, do you know what's even funnier than that? If you do MRI baby scan,
yeah.
Oh, so like, you know, obviously you got the
sonic scan. In the tube.
But if you have an MRI, no. So when you're pregnant, if a pregnant person has an MRI, and the baby picture is hilarious.
Oh God,
like it's actually hilarious.
I like that we've gone off on a tangent before we even started. The
anyway.
Episode.
Yeah, so that's that. And then, so now I've got a gaping hole. So I apologise, everybody, if I sound like I've got a mouthful of marbles. Like,
you don't.
Somebody clip that sentence.
What was that? What did I say?
What, a mouthful of marbles?
No.
What? Which bit?
The gaping hole part. I'm sorry, listeners. I didn't want to actually have to say it.
God,
that's brilliant.
But yeah, so...
Oh god.
Just don't eat granary bread, girls.
Tooth extraction is public service like announcement. My worst fear.
I'm really good with dentists normally. I had done, I was still like relatively like just crack on and do it.
Yeah.
But it weren't nice. It's just you can't feel it, but it's the noises and it's the sensation. And like I said, I've got a cold, so the whole thing's echoing in my head.
Jesus Christ. That is nightmares for me.
What can you do?
Touch wood, I don't have any issues, and it's just scrape and polish, scrape and polish. Nothing like I don't have sensitivity.
Scrape and polish. Scrape,
that's what they call it. That's what they used to call it anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I've got my wisdom teeth, everything, don't have any problems.
Yeah, it's the only tooth I had issues with. I have a root canal, and then this has happened. It's like my jinx tooth, I don't know.
I don't have any fillings, nothing like that. Yeah. Nothing.
There we go.
Should we
not
go
off the topic of dentists?
I don't know what's going on. We're just talking about dentists.
Oh, I hate it. Yes, let's change.
We're discussing Sarah's fears now. Yeah, right. So, yeah, Columbine. Oh, I feel like this is going to be lengthy.
Do you think? I didn't think it was going to be.
Because
that
I didn't. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. No, maybe you've made more notes than me then.
I think it's just because, like I said at the end of the last episode, like, for some reason, this case, like, really grips me, like, and...
I also love it.
Yeah, I could have wrote way more, and I was like, do you know what? I'll stop at mine because you guys will have notes as well, so if I write more, it's just horrendous.
I feel like I've got more opinions on the opinions of the media and other things than I have on the actual case.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Those will definitely come out.
I just want to prologue this by saying, if we make jokes during this podcast, I just want to apologise ahead of time. It's not that we want to disrespect victims or anything like that, but it is that I've been with this case for like 8 hours a day for the last 2 days.
Mm.
And God damn, do I need some levity.
Yeah. I was dreaming about this case. I'd researched it that much and made that many notes that I was then dreaming about it. Yeah. I don't know what it is about it, but it really, really like draws me in.
Yeah. Mm. I was obsessed with it when it happened.
Yeah, I remember when it happened. Yeah.
Not in like a creepy
Yeah.
You know, like
it's just curious. It's like curiosity though, isn't it? It's like because it's, you know, we wouldn't experience something like that in this country, really, would we?
No. Well,
dumb blankets.
Yes, that's the thing. That happened, though, and then it
they changed.
Got tightened up and shut down, didn't it? Whereas I think this is the biggest case of this kind in America, and then since then.
It was certainly not the first, though.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Everybody knows. Like, I think when you refer to like school shooting and stuff, like I think for the most part, this is no slight on the other school shootings, but I think most people think Columbine.
Especially people of our age, definitely. Yeah. I think if you went sort of like 10, 15 years younger, people would probably mention Sandy Hook.
Yes.
Or what was the other one? Park.
Tech.
Yeah,
Virginia Tech.
It was Virginia Tech. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
well, he is the most lethal.
Yes.
By victim.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Where do you want to start? I'll leave it up to you.
Yeah. So I thought we'd just start off with the two sort of perpetrators to start with, and just give a little bit on their background before we go into the gritty details of the event. So, the two main people that this is about, so the two shooters. One was Eric Harris. He was born the 9th of April 1981, and he was born in Wichita, Kansas. That's hard for me to say at the moment. And then he moved to Colorado in 1993, and this was when his father retired from the United States Air Force.
Actually was made redundant.
Was he made redundant?
He was let go due to funding cuts.
Oh. Oh, did he then just, and that was it, then he retired basically, so he was
married, he became and then the part-time he retired himself. Caterer.
Ah, well, did
as it? You do.
Hi, yeah. Rhonda. Oh, okay. Yeah, so, and the other teenage boy was Dylan Klebold, born 11th of September 1991, and he was born in Lakewood, Colorado. Both of the boys had middle-class upbringings. Dylan's parents were pacifists. They were quite active within their sort of church.
Basically, yeah. The complete opposite of him, really.
Yeah. Oh, wasn't he a policeman, Dylan Klebold's dad?
I don't actually know that.
I think he was a deputy.
He might have been a deputy, yeah.
How mad is that? I do find like this is such a, I don't know, it's such a random, in terms of their upbringing, it's so like not expected, I suppose, for them. Because they both were brought up in a good environment. I mean, obviously, like Eric moved around a lot. Because of the nature of his dad's job, and he did find that hard.
Yeah,
but I don't think that's, you know, that happens a lot to a lot of people, and I think it can be challenging, but it's not. Doesn't turn you into a psychopath.
The sole factor of him turning out that way. Yeah,
right from the off, I'm not. There's no defending these two. It was their upbringing. There was none of that. It wasn't It wasn't even the bully thing they tried playing. Those two were bullies.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Yeah, there was a lot of things that I think that the media tried to. I mean, we'll get into that, I suppose. But they tried to, I don't maybe like pigeonhole this as being a result of, but it was not.
The media try and do that because they're trying to compartmentalize, or they're trying to make sense of the actions. I think that's why they do it.
I'm far more cynical than you. I think it's just to get airtime.
Well, that was the other thing I was going to say. Like, it's the ratings, isn't it?
If it bleeds, it leads. So they say in the news.
That's what they say.
Have you ever seen Shot in the Dark on Netflix?
Yeah,
so good. They use that term a lot in that.
It's fucking brilliant.
It really is. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh,
very good sign. Anyway, so yeah, so the two boys met in seventh grade, which is when when you're in the UK, it's when you're about 12 or 13 years old, and they met at Ken Carroll Middle School. And they became really close friends pretty much immediately. And then they both attended Columbine High School.
Yeah, they were both heavily into sports too until high school.
Yeah, I know, which is so random for their hatred of that became of jocks and so on.
Exactly,
I feel like their hatred was selective and ever-changing.
It was, yeah.
Like the entries on Eric Harris's website, like his... You know, like I heard someone on a podcast say today, it's like Eric Griffin in Peter Griffin in Family Guy. You know, what grabbed my gears? Remember that episode?
Yeah. So I've seen that episode, yeah.
It's kind of like that. It's like, oh, you know what I hate, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And there was lots of things in there, like racism was one of the things he hates. And like, saying that was part of it. And like,
there was no
part of anything. He was just a psychopath.
Yeah,
absolutely. So Eric was before sort of leading up to the event was initially described as bright and personable and relatively well behaved in school.
Yeah, they were both honours roll students.
Yeah. He was, however, depressed. He was very self-conscious. And he would describe himself as a schizophrenic, not actually diagnosed, and most definitely was not a schizophrenic, but would self-diagnose himself as a schizophrenic.
He's a teenager too, like,
yeah,
we were all Mo Brown,
I'm
depressed. Man, you're 16, don't worry.
It'll pass.
So, and I feel him, Eric and Dylan, I feel were very, they were very different but very similar. So, like, Dylan was a lot more inward, so a lot less sort of extroverted. He was depressed and he would self-harm. So his was a lot more, like, towards himself.
Yeah.
He was a bit more shy And he kind of eventually lost interest in school. I mean, despite the fact that he was applying to colleges, his grades and stuff, he kind of lost an interest. And then I read a lot that he was bullied more than Eric. Mm-hmm. And however, Eric and Dylan both also bullied as well. So there was a lot around like, oh, they were bullied and it led them to this. Yeah. I think the school tried to defend themselves very thoroughly on this, but I think it just had a bullying problem anyway. I think Agreed. The 90s was quite big like for that schools, in general.
Yeah.
Welcome to an all-boys school. Was
yeah.
yeah.
That's it. And I think nowadays it's a lot more recognised and a lot more is done about it. But when you look at the 90s and even the noughties, like it was
the Wild West.
Bullying was,
basically,
yeah,
it was the Wild
horrendous.
West.
That's it. Yeah. So I think, like, they were just as bad as sort of what was, I think, comments that were happening to them. And they did, like, label themselves as sort of outcasts and you know.
I think they revelled in that a little bit as well.
Well, they did that intentionally because if you read loads of stuff, especially about Eric Harris, he had a lot of friends. Like, he was part of lots of different groups.
Yeah.
He had girlfriends. So it's not like he was like an incel or... like, you know, the downtrodden youth. He isolated himself.
Yeah. He did, because he also, Eric was the, like, Dylan tended to write in journals and Eric liked his blogging, didn't he?
Yeah.
And Eric would write a lot of sort of things around women, like really negative things, like wanted women, but would write negatively because of his lack of being able to end up with a girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah.
And he very much festered, like, not so much a woe is me, but a bit sort of like, this keeps happening to me, so I hate the world, rah, 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 kind of thing. Yeah. It was very teenage angsty.
Yeah.
In the most extreme form.
He was dating an older girl when they were collecting the weapons because she purchased a lot of them.
Yeah, she did, yeah.
Not with the knowledge, by the way.
No.
She had no knowledge, but she purchased those at a gun show.
Yeah. So random, their gun laws are so random. But again, we were kind of chatting about this earlier, and although this case was massively highlighted, like some gun law things that needed to be looked at, the gun laws in America had nothing to do with why this happened. At the end of the day, like, they were able to source the guns. They didn't go into a store and buy them themselves. They sourced these guns elsewhere. And if it hadn't have been that, it had been something else. And they also used other means of weapons as well, which obviously we'll get into. But it doesn't come down to their gun laws either.
Nah. Well, their intention was to kill most of the people with the pipe bombs.
Exactly. That was their obsession. They were absolutely obsessed with explosives as well.
Yeah.
So much so they named all 99 of them.
That's such a weird thing to do.
They named all 99 pipe bombs.
Such a weird thing to do.
Yeah.
So random. Yeah, they did have some very unique interests. So they were really into, like, explosives. Again, another thing that I think the media tried to pin this on, but in my opinion, had nothing to do with it. They both enjoyed what they labeled as violent video games. I think mostly a game called Doom. Which I've not played. I don't know much about it.
They would make maps for it and everything.
But the thing is with these things, so, like, and obviously they were into a certain kind of music and they dressed a certain kind of way. And I really hate when the media look at that and go, that's the reason why I'm pigeonhole. When most of the time, that's nothing to do with it. It's just that that's an outlet. So playing aggressive video games, for the most part, is not because you're a necessarily aggressive person, but it's an outlet. I used to be like an emo when I was like 18 because the music, like, where I was in my head, I was like, oh my God, this really speaks to me. But it wasn't because I was like a manic depressive or anything, but I'd listen to it and it was just, it's an outlet for people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same for, I imagine, all three of us. Like, I was certainly alternative, so they say.
Yeah,
at school.
Massively. And, like,
you know, while we were outcasts at school. Luckily, we were never bullied or anything, but we were the only alternative kids in the school. School with four of us.
Yeah.
So we all experience this to a certain level.
Mm. Absolutely. That's the thing. It's what kind of speaks to you in where you are or where you find your place in the world. Like, you know, R&B music and that didn't really speak to me. I wasn't listening to it going, oh my God, I completely relate to this and understand it. And this is the thing with what these, like, these two boys were sort of playing and listening to and stuff. I feel like that was just more of an outlet, and for the media to cling on to that is not fair on anyone else that, like, identifies with being a little bit more outside of the box.
But this
is,
and it's easy for them
to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the West Memphis Three.
Oh, that's,
The Ricky Casso case, they blamed Ozzy and AC/DC.
They did.
But this happens over and over again, and it's well, so
it was
stupid.
It's the whole, like, satanic panic thing that didn't that wasn't actually a thing.
Exactly.
Like,
no, well, no, exactly. Yeah, and it was just teenagers. I mean, I had pentagrams drawn on bags and stuff when I was a teenager, like devil badges and shit like that. I was never a devil worshipper though. I just liked the iconography, like the visual imagery.
That's
like all the like the media would blow things out of proportion, and we've seen that fairly recently as well. So like the Momo thing, on the internet, like it wasn't even a like a thing. It was just, you know, this scary mask that popped up, and it got blown way out of proportion.
Like all those things. Was the blue whale was the other one? Was it the blue whale? The blue whale game, where it gets exponentially more, like it's dares, but it gets exponentially worse.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay. I think that's what it is. I'm not 100%.
Yeah, and I know it was mentioned on the Bowling for Columbine documentary about the razor blades in the Halloween candy.
Oh, yeah, that was a...
Like, it happened twice.
By family members.
Yeah, by family members as well.
But the thing is with Bowling for Columbine is it's not about Columbine at all.
No, it's I did not. Try and give it a go earlier, and I watched probably about 20 minutes of it, and I was like, nah. And turned it off.
It's just Michael Moore being absolutely full of himself and making people look stupid for no reason at all.
Yeah.
Mostly.
Yeah.
He hates America, doesn't he, Michael Moore?
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Yeah,
he does. You can tell. You can tell his whole demeanour changes when he goes over the border to Canada.
Yeah.
He just completely changes, yeah.
It's weird though, that documentary, because it flip-flops so much. Like, what? By the end of it, I'm not sure whether he's on the side of guns or not.
Yeah, he just bounces around, doesn't he? And it's not in a coherent way.
The Walmart bit, so where he marches into Walmart with cameras and victims of Columbine, and starts like having a go at the people that work there. Like, none of this is their fault. They're just trying to pay their bills.
They just work there. They just need a job. Yeah.
And probably, like I said, they didn't even go and get the guns themselves, though. So it's not even, I'm not saying that it's right to be able to go into a supermarket and buy a gun. In my opinion, that's not something that I would I'm supportive of. However, that is not why this happened.
Exactly. You know,
they sourced the guns from other people that got them for them or gave it to them, and how they got them, you know, that could be questionable, but it wouldn't have prevented, it's tragic, but it wouldn't have prevented this.
No. True. They would have found another way.
Exactly. Yeah, they would have. They wanted to do it, and you could tell that from the amount of preparation that went into it, the amount that was, that Eric wrote on his blogs about it, and obviously Clive wrote in his diaries, like, this was something they really wanted to do. They had so much. It was like teenage depression angst to the most extreme. They fucking hated people. Yeah. They just hated people. They liked each other.
Yeah,
and they definitely liked.
Did you know?
Nothing.
Do you not think?
Well, I reckon one of them probably shot the other one. So
do you think?
Yeah, I think Eric
shot Dylan.
Dylan, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Oh. I honestly don't think that. Dylan knew the outcome of this. I don't think he really believed they would die. This whole thing is Eric Harris. It's so
definitely. He like, was the planner of
he was. Yes.
There's
yeah.
no like reasoning, and he found a vulnerable, moldable person.
Yeah,
who he can manipulate into helping.
Dylan was very vulnerable. And impressionable, not just because of his age, but because of everything that was happening to him and around him.
And also, he had a very high IQ. He did very well in
school. Yeah, he did, yeah.
So it's entirely possible he was also somewhere on the spectrum.
Yeah.
And he just needed, like, to, I don't know, to, like, fit in or to, like, be part of something.
Yeah,
Yeah, I watched a really good analysis of it was analysis of the two boys and their personality traits, and it was on YouTube. And they said that Eric would have done something like this regardless if he hadn't met Dylan. However, if Dylan hadn't met Eric, he doesn't believe Dylan
would have done it.
He was introverted, wasn't he?
I mean, you've only got to look at the names of their journals. Like Eric Harris's journal was called The Book of God.
Yeah.
He had a massive, like, narcissistic complex.
Yeah, he did,
like, he had a God complex.
He did have a God complex, yeah. He did.
But, yeah, obviously, this isn't excusing Dylan by any means. Like, he's also absolutely repulsive for doing this. So, yeah, the other thing that they both had a thing for, which was Adolf Hitler. Now, that's, like, that's something I can't, like. Yeah. So, like, video games,
really strange,
like, come on, you're reaching.
Bold.
I know, right? Oh, things ridiculous. But, yeah, so, and this event, now, the Columbine event happened on Adolf Hitler's birthday, and I think somebody would say that that was on purpose, and then say, like, obviously, we will never know, but it could have just been coincidence. But yeah, the 20th of April is Adolf Hitler's birthday, a fellow Taurian. I know, quite worrying.
That's the only thing you have in common,
absolutely.
You're not addicted to methamphetamines and want to take over the world, are you?
Too much hassle, to be honest. Yeah.
I mean, you know who else
want a break?
You know who else was a Taurus? Jeffrey Dahmer.
Was Jeffrey D a Taurus?
Yeah, 21st of May. Yeah, he's on the cusp.
Oh, okay. Mm. I know most serial killers are like Virgos and Capricorns.
Mm.
Yeah, but then the biggest ones, like Manson's a Scorpio and Hitler's a Taurus.
Hang on a second. Manson didn't kill anybody, technically.
He's a proper Scorpio. We got everyone else to do it.
Everyone else to do it.
It was that one guy on the ranch. They think he may have killed.
Yeah, he definitely killed that. Yeah, he did. But yeah, that's a story for another time. So yeah, I don't know. I didn't really write much on the planning, in all fairness. I didn't.
That's my favourite part.
Yeah, so
take it away, Paul.
Take the floor, Paul. Take the floor.
Yeah, their plan actually, if it had worked, would have been quite clever.
Mm.
Because in Littleton, the town, there is no police force. Mm. So they're not incorporated, which means they only have a sheriff.
Yeah. Mm.
So obviously they knew that. They set a distraction bomb, like, miles away from the school in a car.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Which was supposed to go off and draw all the police
all
and
the
fire
emergency
onto that.
Services, yeah.
Then after that happened, their plan was to set the pipe bombs off inside the school, and as the students came running out, they would just start shooting them like fish in a barrel.
Yeah.
Luckily, that didn't work because their pipe bombs didn't go off.
Yeah, the timers were faulty, weren't they? They didn't set the timers properly, so they didn't go off.
Yeah. Like, because they say it for lunchtime as well, didn't they? They're like, it's
not
really
planned,
like,
canteen,
they
left a massive propane tank, fairly big, in the canteen.
Yeah,
because the one victim was near it, wasn't he? Because he was the one that was in the doorway of the cafeteria.
Because they wound up shooting it to make it explode.
I have made sure to include all the victims now as well, because I do think that that's important. I think it's
very.
And sort of going along the lines of what these two boys, how they carried everything out. So, So before this, though, what was it they done? They robbed something, didn't they? And then they had a diagnosis, didn't they? So this was the year before. So this was 1998, and they both robbed a van, and then they got caught, didn't they? And they had
psych evaluation?
Yeah, psychiatric, I think I was looking for. I don't know.
Psychiatric evaluation.
It was coming out wrong. they had that done then, though, didn't they? But then nothing
came of it.
No, because Eric's clever. So he was very apologetic. Yes. Even going so far as to write a letter to the owner of the van apologising.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that, yeah.
Yeah, but all the while, his matching like journal entries were like, fuck that guy, he deserved to get robbed for leaving his tools out in plain sight. What did you think was going to happen, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember now. He was like really like, he was an actual psychopath, wasn't he, Eric? Yeah. Like a full-on psychopath.
Yeah, he had this plan for a long time.
Yeah, it was a year in, a year.
At least.
That's scary. Okay, right. So I'll give a trigger warning because I have included some details that people might find a bit gory. So just brace yourselves, basically. So this event happened on the 20th of April, 1999, and sort of starts to unfold from about 10 past 11 in the morning. So Dylan and Eric both pull up to the school car park and they drive there and they park separately. Eric gets out of the car and a student, I believe their name is Brooks Brown.
That's correct.
Speaks to Eric, basically. And Eric directs him away from the school and basically says, like, just, you don't want to be here. And he actually does that.
Which is another like kink in Eric Harris's personality, because he had issues with this guy.
He did,
like big issues. Like the guy's mother had called the police on him and all
He said he wanted to blogged in, I think it was in one of his blogs or something, that he actually wanted to kill this guy. And yet like ends up diverting him away because he considers him a friend.
He said to him, I like you now, Brooke. Go home. That's what he said to him.
That's so, so chilling there, isn't it?
It's quite sinister. Yeah.
I think half the interest in this case, like what makes it so sinister, is the fear they inflicted. Like they intentionally inflicted so much fear. Like asking people questions with guns to their head before they killed them.
Yeah. It's kind of like a, I don't mean to downplay this in any way, but it's kind of like a horror movie, like some of the things they were doing. And when we get into it, like especially when they're in the library, it's like
it's
when
I was like Purge-like, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, they absolutely loved Natural Born Killers, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
It was their film.
Yeah.
They're just on another planet. So for 11:14 a.m. So both Dylan and Eric, they that's when they enter the cafeteria, and then they put down the two duffel bags, which obviously full of explosives. They place them by two lunch tables, as Paul said, kind of hoping that they would explode and then that would do the majority of the damage. And they go back to their cars and they wait for these bombs to detonate. But obviously this didn't happen. And then 11:19, that's when Jefferson County Dispatch Center, they received a call from the citizen. Around the two backpacks with, so there was two backpacks basically they saw with pipe bombs and aerosol canisters and all this kind of stuff. And one of them did go off, didn't it? And that was the that was what they done. The two boys had done as like a diversion to keep the police sort of occupied whilst they carried out the massacre at the school. which obviously, you know, it did work. One of them did go off. I think there was like a small grass fire as well, wasn't there? So they were like occupied sort of dealing with that. So whilst this is happening, about 11:19 a.m., there were several witnesses that saw Harris and Klebold standing together, and they were both wearing black trench coats, and they were carrying a backpack and a duffel bag. And this is when one of the witnesses hear them say, go, go.
Yeah, I have a list of weapons that they had on them.
Okay.
Jeez. So they had an Intratec Tech-9 Mini, a Highpoint 995 carbine, a Savage 6.7H pump-action shotgun, a Stevens 311D double-barreled sawn-off shotgun, 99 pipe bombs, and four knives.
That's insane.
That's an arsenal.
That's terrifying.
That's literally an arsenal for two of both of them.
The different weapons and the fact they kept not changing clothes, but turning the hats around and taking their coats on and off
Yeah.
made the police think there were five
shooters. There were more of them. Yeah.
Oh my god, that's actually
because even when they find them, they're still questioning whether there was still active shooters.
It took them 4.5 hours after they died to clear the school.
That's crazy. Just insane. It really is.
But I saw a lot of criticism of the police response, but I hate that.
Like, there was, I saw that,
they're too slow, they're too this. I mean, what are they supposed to do? Do you know what I mean? They're just going to storm the school. They don't know how many shooters there are, they don't know where they
are. This is the thing.
This wasn't then like it is now. It wasn't a weekly occurrence. They assumed that they'd gone in there to take hostages.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It wasn't a hostage situation, was it? So the procedure, it was unheard of, really, at that point as well.
They've since changed their procedures.
They did, So once they shout go, this is when they start shoot. They basically just start shooting. So they start outside of the school, and this is where they kill their first first shooter, basically, which was Rachel Scott, and she was 17. And she was having lunch with her friend Richard Castaldo. Mm-hmm. Richard, however, survived. And this is when you can start to see the mindset of these boys. So as Richard survived, he said that in one of his accounts that Harris returned when he realised Rachel was still alive. And he asked her, "Do you still believe in God?" And as he lifted her head up by her hair, and she said, "You know I do." And Harris then said, "Then go be with him." And then he shot her in the head.
Yeah, they said a lot of dramatic shit like this to a lot of people.
It's just insane. And like to shoot someone that close as well.
Point blank in the head.
Literally looking at them and at,
Also, there's an interesting connection between her and Dylan Klebold. Mm. So I think it was either the previous year or the year before that, there was a school play. The music failed during the school play and Dylan Klebold saved the day by going to get a tape from somewhere and he like replaced the music and got it all playing again and saved the show. And she had been basically thanking him at the end of the play and everything for saving the show. And then she was the first one they killed.
That's such a cruel, it was just cruel, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah, that's the thing. From what I can gather, there wasn't really much rhyme or reason in terms of who they killed. But
there was none.
Whoever they came across.
But it wasn't everyone they come across either. That's the thing. That's what's so strange about it.
There was a weird one with one of the jocks who was hiding under a table.
And
Harris knelt down next to him and said, I can't remember what his name was, say John, for argument's sake. He said, "Oh, how you doing, John?" John was like, "Well, I'm not great." Eric said, "Okay, see you later, man," and just walked off.
Yeah, it's really so strange.
So weird. He asked another girl if she believed in God with a shotgun to her face. She said yes. He asked her why and just walked off.
We'll never know, will we? So they continue outside. So this is before they make their way into the cafeteria and they shoot 15-year-old Daniel Rothbrah, I believe you pronounce his surname. Again, this was at close range and it kills him instantly. And Daniel's body was the most publicised, I suppose, because it was outside in full view. And he remained in that position that he was killed in for 24 hours after the attack had happened, which is actually heartbreaking.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose they had to do all their...
They do.
Like...
but just the thought of like, being that parent as well. It's just terrible.
Interestingly, I saw there's a few accounts of a few students who thought there was a sniper across the street shooting people.
Mm. Oh, okay.
So that was another reason the police thought there were multiple, more than two shooters.
Because people to start with didn't believe it was real, which I suppose, I don't know whether you would do, I guess, but they thought that they were like acting and stuff, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they did do that. They'd been making videos around the school
they had,
with plastic guns and the trench coats, basically doing what they did.
Yeah.
They're chilling to watch those.
Yeah, the home videos that they made.
Basement tapes.
If you want to look them up, they're on YouTube. But just goes to show you what dickheads they were too.
You can also buy the transcripts of the diaries and stuff to read on Amazon, can't you?
Yeah, you can find them for free online. Yeah, they're free online.
Yeah, or you can pay £10 for a hard copy.
Absolutely. Wow.
Who gets that money?
Yeah, I hope it's going to a charity or something.
So after they kill Daniel, a witness then hears them show, this is what we always wanted to do. This is awesome. They do treat this like a film.
Like a video game. Yeah, it's like
they do. And they were also seen throwing explosives on the roof as well. So kind of they just had endless amounts of those to throw around. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
So Eric did have an exchange of fire with the first attending police officer too.
He shot through the window, didn't he? And they shot back.
Shot ten rounds. The officer shot four back and they both missed each other.
Yeah, because he was quite... That police officer, I have got this down somewhere, but that police officer, he was criticised for that and people were saying, how could you not just shoot him? Like, you're a trained police officer.
They could do better.
The thing is, though, like, this is probably a situation I'm never going to have come across before. And also the weaponry was very different as well, wasn't it, I believe. So I think, like, it was Eric who was in the standoff with him, wasn't it? And he was further out of range for the gun that the police officer had. Eric returned in at one point anyway. And the police officer didn't go in because he wasn't really trained for this situation. He'd been trained for a hostage situation.
The thing is, like, against what television and films would have you believe, even American cops are not out there just drawing their guns every day. Like, some police officers go their whole career without having to draw
a weapon. They said it was like it's not a big like police force there that's like So at 11:23, this is when a 911 call from the school, one of the students at the school, is made and reports one of the girls is injured. So they're sort of being made aware that you know there's now a school shooting, this is happening. 11:24. So this is around the teacher William Dave Sanders, who is amazing. To be fair, like he's like a teacher you look at and you go, I'm so glad my students had you as a teacher. Like he really give a shit. So him and some school custodians who were John Curtis and Jay Galantine, they enter the cafeteria, and they tell the students to get down. And Sanders stayed within the school the whole time this is happening, constantly trying to secure it as much as he could. So he didn't like run out and save himself or tell people to get out and go with them. He stayed there and tried to save as many people as he could. He's been said to have saved as many as over 100 students, which is just amazing, really. It's tragic for him, but it's a legacy. Like, being, if you were like his wife or his family member and you would be heartbroken over this, but you would be like, my dad was or my partner, whoever, was a fucking great person. Look what he did.
Exactly,
in comparison. So he ran into the shooters and he was shot in the head and the back, but he was alive at this point and he did try and escape. And he went into the science room and there were students hiding in the science room and trying to help keep him alive using like items of clothing to try and stop the bleeding, but eventually he actually bled out. I think at one point a student held up a sign in the window. That basically said like one bleeding out or something like that. But it wasn't really paid attention to, and he did actually pass. So he's one of the he's classed as one of the victims. He's the oldest victim. I didn't have his age, but he's obviously a teacher. I think he was in his 50s.
Yeah, it was just one teacher that died.
Another teacher, Patricia Nielsen, she was one of the people who thought that the Eric and Dylan had toy guns and that they were filming a production at the time. So she tries to make her way over to them to tell them to stop it, but is then hit by a debris from a shot that's fired, and then she basically goes into the library then with another student who's near her, whilst this is when
is she the one distracted by the police officer? Yeah, is she the one that makes the 911 call from the library?
Yeah. Yes, yes, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and you can actually listen to that, can't you? And
it's an incredible call. Yeah. Like, you can hear the shots in the background, and she's just like, oh my God, oh my God.
Because
she's
a lot more composed
than I'd have been, though.
Yeah.
That is the worst place to be in this story, in that library.
Yeah, it was.
The library is actually terrifying.
Yeah.
It is horrendous. And I don't know if, like, I mean, it's probably come up, but if you saw the pictures of, like, the aftermath of, like, of that room, it just looks like your worst nightmare.
It's a massacre. Yeah, it's an absolute
massacre.
It is. So, yeah, so this is when the standoff between, it is Gardner is the name of the police officer. So Gardner and Harris, and that's when they're shooting at each other, and that's they're distracted by that. Then people are hiding in the library. So this happens from 11:29. All this happens so quickly as well. Like, these timestamps are so
like
close 40, together.
Something like 46 minutes they were in there shooting.
So this is horrific what happens here. So the boys then enter the library, where obviously a lot of people are hiding out, and they just begin shooting. So Kyle Velasquez, I'm going to say.
Velasquez.
Well done.
Hi, SJ. Hey.
I've missed something.
Yeah, it's one of the characters.
It's
in
one
Aliens.
Of the characters in Aliens.
Okay, yeah, definitely missed that. Right,
one of the best characters in Aliens.
Yeah, one of the best characters in Aliens.
So he was 16, and he had only been in the school for 3 months, and he was the first that was shot in the library, and he was shot in the head and the back. They then moved on to Steve Cumrow, and he was 14, so he was the youngest victim of the whole massacre. He was hiding under a computer table, and Harris shot him in the neck with the sawn-off shotgun.
Jesus.
Yeah, wow.
Then they moved on to Cassie Bernal. She was 17, and she was hiding under a computer table. Eric Harris walked over to her. He slapped the table and shouted, "Peekaboo."
Yeah,
and so then dramatic again.
Yeah, and then he bent down and shot her in the side of the head like that. What? I've got no words for that other than you absolute wanker.
Yeah, it's just unnecessary cruelty on top of everything else.
It really is.
It's unnecessary cruelty.
Yeah.
Like things like that, like the slamming of the hand on the desk and the peekaboo. You know, he's obviously doing that for a reaction.
Yeah, yeah. It's theatrical, yeah.
It absolutely theatrical, yeah, you're right. And this is why it reminds me of, like, The Purge.
Yeah.
Just literally a free-for-all.
I feel like he's feeding his ego, because he's getting that, he's got control over everyone. Yeah. And he's got that, like, everyone's looking at him, and he's literally feeling, at this point, he'll be feeling like God.
He's literally feeling like God.
Yeah.
So he'll just be playing on that. Anything he can do to then feed that more.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. Mm. He's scary. He was a scary, scary person. Mm. The next was Isaiah Scholes. He was 18.
Oh, God.
So this is where the boys start doing the racist slurs. Yeah. And they tried to pull him from under the table, but this guy was like, he was a jock.
Yeah, he was a big guy.
Couldn't. So in the end, they just knelt down and shot him.
Yeah.
But he was next to quite a few other people as well. So they were. I haven't named anyone who was like injured or witness, and I feel like they deserve to be called out as well, because imagine the freaking mental trauma.
Yeah.
You're literally there having to listen to someone's last breath or watching their face as they. It's just terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
It would almost be worse as a survivor, because the dead are dead, whereas you now have to live with that for the rest of your life.
Yeah. I don't think I would, like, some people are so strong and so resilient and will be able to, but I wouldn't be one of them people. I would crumble.
Yeah, I would as well. I don't think I could. I just wouldn't want to be in that kind of situation and that environment. So, you know, being in school, being around large groups of people in public and things like that, like, that must be terrifying.
Absolutely.
Especially when you think about it now.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're in their early 40s, those survivors now.
Yeah.
And they're living in a world where there are school shootings weekly. Well, not just school shootings, but mass shootings on weekly.
I mean, you'd hope that, you know, none of their children go through what they went through.
Yeah. I mean, there was another one last week.
What's that?
Yeah, did you hear about it?
No.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a big one.
Jesus. It's awful. It is awful. I think it's about it's so massively, like, publicised now. Like, so in the media. It's like, when...
Yeah.
What? When is something going to get done about it? Like, I'm not the person to say what should be done about it, but it can't just continue.
It can't just... it can't just go on, because it's just going to get worse.
The problem with it is... you see these reports all the time, mass shootings, and it's in the news for a day.
Mm.
Then you're just on with your life because it's become so frequent now so that you're just like, oh, another one. Yeah. Although tragic every time, obviously.
Yeah.
You do become somewhat desensitized to the constant reports of it.
Mm. Yeah. It's true.
Awful. Mm. So immediately after they shoot Isaiah, Dylan then shoots Matthew Ketcham. He's 16 and he shoots him in the chest. And he was friends with Isaiah, so he'd seen his friend. Yeah. That was the last thing he saw before actually being shot himself. Mm. The next one is interesting, I guess, in a way. So Lauren Townsend, she was 18 and she was under one of the tables and she was with one of her friends, hiding under a table with one of her friends. And she was shot several times in the head, chest and lower body. So she was shot more than any other victim quite a few times.
There was a girl, possibly her, that Eric had taken to a homecoming dance.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was her.
Yeah, I don't know. And she refused to date him again after that. So he had a little thing where he faked his own suicide.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he was.
There were so many red flags with these boys, though, beforehand that sort of, like, they should have... I'm not saying you would have gone, like, you're going to, you know, massacre loads of people at a school, but they definitely should have been checked out more than they were, because to fake your own suicide, but also, like, it's a bit, like, a bit concerning when someone doesn't want to date you again. It's like... Obviously, that happens a lot, but sort of, like, there must... With this guy, you kind of think there was a reason. He must have done something to it that scared the shit out of her.
But the thing is, a lot of people described him as charming.
Mm.
He was charismatic. Yeah,
that's the narcissism side, though, isn't it? Yeah. You know, it's... They can be charismatic and, you know, influential and charming and all of that, and it's all a ploy to get what he wants.
Yeah, I mean, if he could have found 20 Dylan Klebolds, he would have made a cult.
Oh, for sure.
Because I feel like I got the impression that he was trying to recruit other people.
Because
you know he had his website.
Which
initially started out as their doom maps that they would make. So he would. It was a very private website. He would give the login out to Fret to certain people, but then after a sort of a short amount of time, the website stopped being about new Doom maps and sort of the computer gaming side of things, and became a list of things he hates. And it felt like brainwashing. Like it felt like, oh hey, you're in my little group here. And it obviously didn't work. But they would go out shooting with other people. Like, this whole Trenchcoat Mafia thing was all bullshit, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Trenchcoat Mafia.
Yeah. So they wore those trench coats occasionally, but they wore them that day purely to conceal those long weapons.
Yeah,
they did.
Yep.
And because I think they wanted to make themselves feel tough. Because their attention to detail on their costumes that day is fucking insane.
Yeah, their T-shirts that said certain words, didn't
one
they?
One said wrath and the other one said natural selection.
Oh, Jesus.
They have literally, to me, they've literally planned this like a film, and that's what's so
costumes, which is
worrying
crazy
about
to
it.
Me. Yeah, like even down to Eric had a hammer and sickle key ring hanging off one of his boots.
Yeah, he did, Just ridiculous.
So then they move on to John Tomlin. He was 17 and he was hiding under a table. This is so... like these little details, just I think it brings it home to you. So he was hiding under a table with a girl called Nicole Nolan, and he held her hand because she was so scared. And Harris then shot John, and Klebold, like, he crouched down and then shot him in the face as well. And Nicole was shot in the stomach, but she survived.
Wow.
But just the compassion with what these people are going through. And yeah, he's there and he's like, that, you know, there was lots of accounts of people saying, like, they were told, like, you, it's going to be fine, or, you know, and then they were shot. The person that said that, or the person they said it to, was then shot. It's just so polar opposite to what Eric and Dylan are like so, so cold and don't give a fuck about people at all. But yeah, that kind of, I don't know, it just tugged on me a little bit. Then there was Kelly Fleming. So she was 16. She'd only been at the school for 3 months. She was writing poetry in the library. She was under the table with other girls, but she couldn't quite conceal herself enough, so she was partially visible, and then Eric shot her in the back. And then Derek Mouser, I believe, he was 15, and he was, this is horrible, he was 15 and he was shot in the face by Eric, and then after he had made the comment, nice glasses, to him. And this kid, Daniel, he apparently, like, a couple of weeks before, he had a big thing against the gun laws in America, and he was, like, very, like, anti-gun, and he'd been speaking to his mom, I think, about like gun laws and stuff, and but what about the loopholes and the guns that they got, the two lads got, apparently they were actually received via one of these loopholes.
It's
a private sale, isn't it?
I think they might have changed that now. I don't know for sure.
Yeah, so just the fact that he was questioning that and then he ended up, it's kind of like a really horrible twist of irony in a way.
His dad does a lot of work, doesn't he? About now he does, like,
yeah.
After it happened, yeah.
The problem is America's economy relies so heavily on the production of firearms that they could never, ever get rid of them. And not only that, but there's so many people in America that would literally go to war with the government.
They would end up
in civil war. They can never stop that problem.
It's so deeply embedded now, isn't it? It's the Chris Rock bit.
It's in Bowling for Columbine, where he's talking about you should make every bullet $5,000.
Because
then when you shot someone, you know he did something bad.
Yeah. Because they put $50,000 worth of bullets in his
They just find other ways of getting them.
Plus, a lot of people make their own ammunition
in America.
The last student to be killed in the library was Corey DePuta, and he was 17. And apparently he was just an all-round really nice, standard sort of good grades, enjoyed sports and stuff, and then 17, and that's his life's just ended just because two ridiculous. Crazy people.
Yeah.
So they were only in the library. Sorry, go on, Paul.
So interestingly, you notice there Eric did most of the killing. Like by quite a considerable amount.
He did. I think I did see the stats in how much Eric shot in comparison to Dylan, but I don't know if I've noted that down. I might get to it, but yeah, Eric was
predominant.
Way more.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me.
So yeah, so set. They're only in the library for 7.5 minutes, and 10 people were killed.
Jesus.
That's where the vast majority of the people were killed in the library.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And 12 more were wounded, and then 34 managed to actually escape.
Yeah. It's so scary to think about, because there was no way out of that. Like,
there wasn't. There's no way out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what makes it so terrifying. You're hiding, knowing that you're going to be seen in some way, and it's just whether you're then chosen or not. I can't even imagine the level of anxiety.
Start spraying bullets? These tables aren't going to protect no one.
Oh, God,
exactly. No. Horrendous. So at 11:36, so they make their way from the library and they go to the science area. And this is where they start to, they just stop shooting so much. So they're making eye contact with students and still being as intimidating, like still being intimidating. But they're not, they can see these students in the rooms, but they're not trying to gain access to them and they're not trying to shoot them anymore. But they are throwing pipe bombs still.
Yeah.
So they are still doing that the whole this time. 11:44, that's when they leave the science area and they go back to the cafeteria. And this is when Harry tries to shoot the duffel bag with the explosives from earlier, but then the bag still doesn't detonate. And there were some witnesses in the cafeteria and they hear the gunman say, today the world's going to come to an end. Today is the day we die.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous, isn't it? It's chilling. You've never been there. It's so, like Paul said before, it's so over the top.
It is.
Scary as hell for the people in that environment because you've been hearing this and like, oh my God, they're actual maniacs. But to sort of watch it unfold afterwards, you're like, that's so dramatic.
Yeah.
It's just insane. So then they go back to the library and they start to shoot the police again.
Yeah.
At this point. I don't know if they're just like, I don't even know what's going on in their mind at this point. I think
their plan was suicide by cop, wasn't it? So
that what they were? Okay.
Yeah.
Right, fair enough.
Hi, it's Mike from the After Horror Podcast telling you to listen to the After Horror Podcast. It's four idiots who occasionally talk about the film that we're supposed to be, you know, like doing and stuff. Give it a listen. Or don't, like, I'm not your dad, but, you know, I think you'd enjoy it.
And then at 12:08, so this is when the last gunshots are fired from the library window at the police that are there and the paramedics that are also there. And this is when they decide to turn the guns on themselves and kill themselves. So, and then that was basically, I guess, silence. And that was the end.
Yeah. Although the police didn't know it for hours.
No, they didn't know. Yeah. No, the total casualties was 12 students, one teacher, plus Dylan and Eric. That was the body count.
I
don't think they should be included.
They're not victims at all.
No, they're not victims. No.
There was 24 people left with serious injuries as well, and at least 21 people were shot. So obviously there would have been debris and stuff on there as well.
Yeah, Sean Graves was the kid that got shot. I think he was shot in the back. This is the kid that got paralysed from the waist down.
Yeah.
And he was, like, in the doorway of the cafeteria, basically, and he was... they just kind of left him there. Like, he just had to, you know, wait it out and wait to be rescued.
Yeah.
I saw an interview...
how scary that would be.
Oh, just...
you can't move.
It's like waiting for death, isn't it?
Yeah,
like you can't move because you've been paralyzed by the bullet that's hit you.
That is literally like a nightmare. You know, there's nightmares where you can't move.
Or you can't. Yeah,
sleep paralysis.
It's sleep paralysis, isn't it? Yeah. And then there was another one. I watched an interview with the guy that led the SWAT team into the school, and he said like, It's still with him to this day because he was having to step over kids that were bleeding out.
Yeah.
Oh,
and because they had protocol to secure the area and make sure, you know, that there wasn't an active shooter any longer. He said like he stepped over this one girl and she was like reaching for him, like saying, "Help me, help me." And he's like, I'm sorry, sweetheart. I've got a job to do." Yeah. And he had to leave her.
That must be so hard.
Yeah. I mean, to quote Spock, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That must be so
But
hard,
yeah, he
though.
Said he said like it was really traumatic for him. And he was like I don't know if he was the lead SWAT guy, but he was one of them that went in to the school, and he just said he was just like stepping over bodies.
Yeah, because interestingly, a lot of the gunshots the kids were hearing after 12:08 were the SWAT team shooting the locks off of doors.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they couldn't. A lot of the doors were locked, so they because they had to clear every single room. That's why it took so long, because it's a massive school.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah,
yeah. Did you did anyone see two girls got into trouble in Colombia about 5 years ago because they dressed as Dylan and Eric for Halloween?
Tasteful.
Yeah. And they went into their school library.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and lay in the positions that where they shot themselves.
Jesus.
Well, that's not fucked up at all.
Yeah. No, and apparently they posted two pictures to their to one of their Instagrams. One of them on the library floor dead, and then there's another one of them like standing up outside next to each other, and the caption was Dylan and Eric.
So did they do this, like, did they do it because they were just so stupid and they didn't realize how distasteful it was, or did they do it
that,
like
that was it? Yeah, I mean, yeah, they were, you know, 15-16 or whatever, but yeah, they apologized profusely and said it was in bad taste, and they didn't, you know, realize that people would be offended by things like that. And and that was only 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So this is like, you know, 15-20 years later.
It's like that year it all came out about Savile and that Halloween.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, everyone dressed up as Jimmy Savile. Dresses.
Oh, no, yeah.
That's so strange.
Yeah.
I know. Like, I've got a dark sense of humour, but there's a line where I'm
there's
like...
There's a line. There's an absolute line.
That's kind of fucked up, yeah.
Jesus, yeah.
That's so disrespectful. It's just disrespectful, it isn't it? It's
absolutely disrespectful, yeah.
It's, yeah.
Yeah, it was two girls in Colombia.
Yeah.
Oh. Interesting. That's the state Colombia, not as in the country Colombia. Of course they're American, you know.
Of course they are. Yeah.
Yeah. That was, it was horrific going over the case details again because it's been a while since I've, you know.
Yeah, same.
But
yeah.
I do remember most of it from when it actually happened. Like,
It's like the video footage of them. I just don't think it's just there. Like, when you really see it, you're like, oh my God, yeah, I remember this now. Like, when they're in the face of the camera. And...
The thing is,
with those home videos, the basement tapes, as they're called.
The basement tapes.
If they hadn't perpetrated an horrific crime, that would have just been the same shit most teenagers do. I grew up in a jackass generation. Like, we had camcorders, we did stupid shit.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, a lot of this echoed my time at school without the murder.
Yeah, I get that.
I think this is the thing, though. No, that's what we were saying before. This is because of two boys and the mental health issues that they've got and the personality traits that they've got, and that is why this happened. It is nothing to do with their interests, their gaming hobbies, music, their fashion sense. It is nothing to do. It's not even to do with the gun culture in America. Mm. It is like this happened because two boys were really mentally unwell, and one of them especially had really dangerous like personality traits, and that is why. Yeah. Because, you know, you can say you hate humanity. You know, there's plenty of times where I'm like, you know what? I just really don't like people. But at no point am I ever like, do I feel the need to sort of be like, you guys just shouldn't exist and you shouldn't, like, I just want to shoot you. And like, no.
Jesus.
That line was crossed because they had those personality traits. They were like narcissistic and psychopathic and mentally unwell. Like, they were both depressed. I mean, especially
Dylan.
Dylan was the one that was taking antidepressants, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. He'd got diagnosed depression.
You know, and Eric had a massive, massive God complex. You know, he referred to himself as God a few times. I think the girl that he dated that you referred to earlier, I'm sure he wrote in her, I'm sure he wrote something in like her yearbook or something about like, I am God or something.
Yeah, he had that written on his t-shirt when he faked his suicide too.
Oh, it might have been that. Yeah, like, no, you're not, mate. But they were meant, they were really mentally unwell. This was like teenage depression, angst, mental health issues to the extreme.
Yeah. Mm. Interestingly, both of Eric's parents had, must have had some kind of inkling, because his mother has recently been, not in recent days but years, has been doing interviews and she said from the moment she held him she felt a darkness.
I find this so strange.
Yeah,
and I think she's faced a lot of criticism for coming out and saying things like that as well.
But his father too, because when it was all going on, his father called the police and said, I've heard about this incident that's happening at Columbine and I think my son is one of the shooters.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Is it his mother that's done all the TED talks and stuff?
Yeah, I think so.
I did actually try and watch one of them, but I did have to turn it off because I did feel a little bit like
I read about them, like, but I didn't watch them.
I didn't watch them. I mean, I was watching it and I didn't really sort of be like, oh my god, you shouldn't be saying that, but I just felt like she shouldn't have done it.
I was like, I don't know, I just felt like it was like excuses. Yeah, and it was the caption on one of the videos. I don't know if it was the specific TED talk or it was an interview with whatever media outlet, but it was something like, my son shut up his school, this is my story, or something just really like flat. And I was just like, I'm not listening to this woman. Yeah. I know she probably didn't use that caption herself, but it was just the way it was phrased. It just put me off and I was like, I've got no interest in what she's got to say.
No, you didn't really miss much. Like I said, I think I managed about 15 minutes of it and I was like, I don't see the point in this. That's how I felt. Yeah. I was like, I just feel like this is pointless. I feel like you might have a bit of some sort of like underlying guilt or something, and this is your way of resolving it.
It could be closure for her,
At the end of the day,
your son was a scumbag.
Exactly.
Just did scumbag shit, there is to it,
Exactly.
There's no explaining it.
That's it. She starts off by, like, apologising to, like, the victim's families and stuff, and I just felt like, the Holly Willoughby thing that where she was apologising the other week, and she was like, firstly, are you okay? She felt very much like...
What's she apologising for?
I think just like the situation. So she was just checking in.
Like, what happened about it?
She's left now, hasn't she?
Is she?
Yeah. She quit. I think she just couldn't deal with all the media and stuff.
She was getting too much flack, weren't she?
Yeah. But that whole thing was so... Obviously, that's a lot less serious than what happened in Columbine. But I mean, in terms of like the delivery, it felt very much like...
Yeah.
Okay, it's, let's that try whole and be thing's sincere.
So ridiculous. Like, the whole nation has got this weird vested interest in Phil and Holly on the fucking daytime show. Who gives a shit?
I know, I really didn't care. It was like, firstly, are you okay? Holly, you do not give a shit if I'm okay. No, I'm not, but it's nothing to do with you and Phil, believe me. I just want a full night's sleep, love, and I'll be grand.
As soon as I get this off my conscience.
Yeah.
Felt very much like that. But you didn't miss much. It wasn't worth watching. I was curious, but it weren't worth watching. So, but yeah, there is a really, like I said, I think I referenced it earlier, there is a really good analysis of the two boys' personality traits if you're more interested in the psychology of things. Mm. It goes into them and their the difference in their actual traits, so like which one's got antisocial personality disorder, which one's got this, which one's got that, and the reasons why. And he does say he's not diagnosing them, but this is the notes that he's taken from it, and that's on YouTube.
Yeah,
it's really good.
That does sound good.
So, wow. But this is a really horrible, guys. It's just like it's quite haunting.
It's indeed. So interesting, though, this one.
Yeah.
I feel like as well, I think because it is obviously it is late 90s, but that 90s era. It just feels, I don't know what it is with like my generation, but like we're very much stuck in that era, like mentally. And I don't know if that's the reason why, like, to me, I'm just, like, really drawn to this case. It's horrible. I'm not condoning it. It's awful.
Yeah.
But, like, it's like the first sort of true crime case I ever was really sort of like, oh, my God, this is ridiculous. This is an actual.
Yeah, and we would have been about the same age as them who, you know, as Dylan and.
Well, yeah,
and...
I would be a year older than.
Yeah.
Both of them, yeah. No. 2 years older.
I was going to say you'd have been, about 2 years older because so I would have been a year younger.
Yeah,
a year younger I was. Yeah.
So yeah, they're our generation. Yeah.
They are our generation, yeah. And I think that's why it's stuck with us so prominently. And it's one that, you know, that we remember seeing on the news and hearing about and, you know, watching it all sort of unfold, albeit, you know, a little bit later than live, as it were, you know. Yeah. But
of course, we haven't mentioned at all, like, the whole Marilyn Manson thing. Like,
yeah,
no,
I mean,
I haven't.
To be fair, like, I remember, obviously, he's in the Bowling for Columbine Michael Moore film.
Yeah.
And I was a Marilyn Manson fan. I loved Marilyn Manson. Yeah. So, not until a bit later, maybe early 2000s, but. I remember watching Bowling for Columbine the first time, and obviously I was really interested to hear what he had to say about it.
Which is actually what he has to say is interesting.
And it is. It really is. Yeah. Like,
he's a massive dickhead, but...
Yeah, I mean, that aside, what he actually does say in the documentary is worth, you know, paying attention to.
His response is very level-headed. It's an intelligent response.
Yeah.
Like, he's a smart man.
Yeah.
Regardless of his... crappy personality.
Yeah, like the main question that Michael Moore asks him is, you know, if you met these students from the school, what would you say to them? And without hesitation, he turns around and he says, I wouldn't say anything to them. I would sit and listen to what they had to say.
Because nobody else did.
Because nobody else did.
Yeah.
And...
But this was still at the time when everyone thought it was revenge for bullying. But it wasn't.
Yeah. But it wasn't.
So,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So
you need that context.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need that context, definitely. Yeah. But yeah, I remember watching that and hearing him say that. And I'm thinking, this guy's actually got a heart. Like, he's intelligent and he understands the situation.
He is intelligent. Yeah.
He is intelligent.
He's very intelligent, but he's a... Mm-hmm. He's a... You know, cock.
Yeah, he's a bit of a dick, yeah.
It's very well done. It's very true. It's very accurate, to be fair.
Yeah. Right then. Well, that was the Columbine shootings.
Wasn't it, though?
It went off. Jesus. So, next episode is episode 49, and it is Paul's choice.
It is. So we've done two big ones in a row, so we're going to go small. We're going to do Alyssa Bustamante.
Oh, I know that name. Why do I know that name? You're going to have to do a quick
Probably
Google.
Because I sent you the YouTube video, the group chat.
That's why it's probably familiar.
Okay.
Which one is this?
Yeah. Yes. I remember you sending it now.
Emo looking girl.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
This is chilling as fuck, this one.
Good stuff.
Okay.
Excellent. So episode 49 will be Alyssa Bustamante. And on that note, listeners, always remember to delete your Google history.